Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Harvey, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. A radio.com sports station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Correct. Marquee Network's lead anchor.
I feel like the whole White Sox team went to the Gold Chain Gang back in the day at the Fox Valley Mall, and they said, hey, cut us X amount of length of rope when it comes to the gold chains, and let's make it happen. Chains for everybody.
Cole Wright respects everyone.
Maybe all these guys throwing 100 and getting hurt is going to be a cautionary tale down the road, almost like plastic surgery. If you get too much plastic surgery, you'll be walking around looking like Mickey Rourke. No disrespect to Mickey Rourke. Once again, no disrespect, but I have a hard time finding Adam Gase as an offensive genius.
Cole Wright, smooth and debonair.
Sometimes sweatpants, shorts, my wife says I look like I'm wearing pajamas everywhere I go. But, you know, you got to be comfortable.
Cole Wright with Lawrence Holmes on The Score.
Oh, no disrespect.
None taken. Cole Wright is on the Marquee Network. He does all sorts of stuff for them, both Bears and Cubs. He's rocking a Cubs cap right now on the Twitch stream. You can match that up with the Bulls cap that I'm rocking on the Twitch stream. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore if you'd like to check out both of those lids. When I look at your background, Cole, that you have going here, I see a baseball on one side and a football on the other. We know that you do the Bear Central show on Marquee, and obviously you do all the great stuff with the Cubs. I'm going to give you the choice. I'm going to let you flip the coin. Which direction would you like to talk about, baseball or football, in the City Beautiful?
You know what? Why don't we go football first? Because I feel like there's some things that need to be addressed with those monsters of the Midway, as you know.
All right, so with your guys, with that crew, that monster crew that you've got to deal with, I'm certain that they were frustrated with watching the game. What was the biggest takeaway that you guys came up with?
Well, you know, I'm still getting ready to get with the guys because we're going to do that show a little bit later on tonight.
Right.
But, you know,
that's right, because it was a Monday night game, so you guys do the show tonight instead of on Tuesday night.
Yeah, staggered just a little bit. But, you know, my biggest takeaway was the inability for that offense to put things together. Like we talked about before, it seems as if they were calling plays that take 4 seconds to materialize and they only have a second and a half of time. And I don't know if that's the offensive line's fault. I don't know if that's Nick Foles' fault. I don't know if that's Bill Lazor's fault. I don't know if that's Matt Nagy's fault. I don't know if that's Ryan Pace's fault. But right now, it seems to be somebody's fault, and the collective blame needs to be placed everywhere because, I mean, when you take a look at under 40 yards in the second half and not even able to muster up 150 yards in four quarters of football when you're the Chicago Bears, I mean, to get away from that run game, and even though it's not there, just the fact that, you know, that they're not even trying to pound the rock and do things that are, you know, synonymous with Chicago Bears football. I mean, it's a tough watch, and, you know, hopefully this bye week can help them get things right and get right back on track, because right now, after taking, you know, all those games on, you know, it's like if it were a Tommy Mansky commercial instead of back-to-back-to-back AAU national championships, to be back-to-back-to-back-to-back lost, which is never a good thing.
No, it's not. One of the things that bothered me, you're right, that there hasn't been great offensive line play in a while, but I got to tell you, the thing that bothered me the most was when Nick Foles had clean pockets, him not delivering the ball on time and on target. And the interception, for example, yes, Anthony Miller could have made a great play and caught the ball, but his quarterback wasn't being pressured. With a throw down the middle of the field, put that out in front of him or put it on him, not put it behind him. And there have been too many moments with Nick Foles, especially in the game, where he had clean pockets and still couldn't deliver the ball.
Yeah, I mean, since Nick Foles took over, there's good news and there's bad news. The Bears are not the worst team in the league offensively. They're 31st. The only team that's worse than them right now is the New York Jets. And we know the New York Jets, if there was relegation, if this was like the EPL, we know that they'd be probably playing in the Pac-12 or something next season because they're not really good at playing tackle football. But, you know, I don't really want to sit there and throw rocks at Nick Foles because at last look, it's not easy to play quarterback in the league. And, you know, it, clean pocket or not, you know, being able to complete those passes, it's a lot easier said than done. But it's just the fact that when you get paid at that dollar amount, I don't mean to dig in anybody's pockets, you're supposed to be able to make plays like that. And even if it's not every single time, when those plays materialize, you're supposed to be able to make something happen. And what we've seen so far from Nick Foles, not great. And, you know, I love the tweet that you had the other day, man, where you talked about, you know, the quarterbacks that have been brought in during Ryan Pace's time at the helm for the Chicago Bears. And, you know, I look at it's Mike Glennon, it's Nick Foles, it's Mitchell Trubisky, and, you know, if draw plays in the sand, I don't know if any of those guys are going to be able to make plays for you.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if either one of the quarterbacks is going to be healthy enough because Foles is dealing with a hip pointer reportedly, and Mitch has been dealing with a shoulder.
Bring on Tyler Gray, man. Come on.
Well, I mean, if both of those guys can't go, then he would be the guy. But how would you feel if a week from now Matt Nagy stepped to the podium and said Mitchell Trubisky is going to start Sunday night?
Well, you know, and once again, like we said at the beginning of the intro, no disrespect, but Nick Foles isn't getting it done right now. And I'm not saying that Mitchell Trubisky could do a whole bunch more, but he hasn't lost a game so far this year. And we know that he can create with his feet, which is the exact opposite of Nick Foles. Because if plays don't materialize while that pocket is nice and clean for him, even if things start to, you know, cinch up on him down there, he's not going to be able to make that move because Nick Foles, plain and simple, it looks like he's running in frozen syrup. The guy is not fast. He makes Tom Brady look like an elusive quarterback, and that's a problem. And not to take anything away from Nick Foles, but when you can't do things with your arm when pockets are clean, despite how the offensive line is playing, you need to be able to bust out, make something happen with your feet, and that's exactly what Nick Foles is not able to do. Mitchell Trubisky is. So if Mitch can come in those games and he can make something happen and he can, like we said, you know, draw something up in the dirt, and that's kind of the style of play that he has right now. Whether or not if a play breaks down, okay, guys, I'm going this way, we can make something happen no matter what. And whether it's Bill Lazor or Matt Nagy calling plays, something's got to give right now. And Mitch Trubisky, if he's going to be, you know, that punch of life that the Bears offense needs, then so be it. Sorry.
That's very true. So we're talking with Cole Wright. He of Marquee Network. You can check out, I'm making sure I get it right, I'm on the guide right now on my TV, Bear Essentials tonight, 7 o'clock.
You got it.
7 o'clock tonight, Bear Essentials. You can check out Cole and his merry band of men who will not be merry tonight. I can promise you that. Let's switch over to baseball. Now, look, you've been out in LA. You were anchoring for NFL Network, but I know that you were paying really close attention to what was happening with the Cubs. When you would come on the show and visit, you always want to know what was going on. Yesterday felt like the end of an era. It doesn't mean that that things are going to end for the Cubs. Like, the good times can still be had, but it felt like the end of something. So as someone who loves this team, and obviously you're now connected with the broadcast of Cubs baseball, what did it signify to you, Theo walking away?
Well, you know, if I could, you know, I'm a big TV guy, Lawrence. You know, I've been a fan of television since I could watch television. And if I had to make a comparison, it'd almost be like when Daphne Maxwell Reed came in as the new Aunt Viv on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And, you know, not the same as the original Aunt Viv. However, still great. The show was still good. And I feel like that's what we saw yesterday with Theo. He's the original Aunt Viv, Jed Hoyer. He's the second Aunt Viv. But I also think that the show must go on, and it's going to be, you know, still a great product. Like Theo said, Jed doesn't need him over his shoulder, you know, checking things out to see how things are going. He's been a GM of a team on his own. He knows how to navigate these waters, and I think that we'll see more of the same with Jed Hoyer at the helm. I think that this will be a Cubs team. You know, there's a lot of moves that need to be made, but you know, there's 30 teams in Major League Baseball, and all those teams, you know, have to figure out in what direction they're going to go next. You know, when it comes to allocating funds and, you know, new contracts and, you know, options being picked up. I think that, you know, Jed knows how to get things done. And I think that, like even Theo said, that he's going to be putting in some calls as the season goes on, because he's taking that break. He wants that third chapter in baseball, you know, to come around, but he doesn't know when that third chapter is actually going to come. So I think that Theo and Jed, they're going to maintain an open line of communication. And I think that things are going to be just fine. It's like I said, it's like the second half of Fresh Prince. I mean, who can't? There's a Fresh Prince reunion. I think that may be hitting HBO Max in about, you know, a few hours. So let's
and Janet's going to be on it. Original Aunt Viv and Will apparently are going to talk about their beef that they've had for 30 years and hopefully squash it up and eat it, because that would be great. Yeah.
You know, and I remember when the original Aunt Viv, when she left, I mean, she was doing Primatene Mist commercials. I mean, something just didn't feel right to see Aunt Viv running down the street needing to catch her breath with a bronchial inhaler. Something wasn't
especially
like
after that dance routine she did. We know that she don't need to catch her breath.
Absolutely.
We know that she got skills. You know that she can do the thing.
The fact that you remember her dance routine from the show and the commercial, it's fantastic and startling at the same time.
Yes, it is startling, and if you were on Twitch, you were treated to me doing a couple of those moves, twitch.tv/Chicago670, the score. Obviously, the Cubs winning the World Series is Theo's greatest victory, but organizationally, what do you think that his lasting legacy will be on the Cubs?
I mean, obviously, like you said, the World Series, that's going to be the crown jewel, the feather in the cap, but I also think the fact that he was able to lift that moniker, lovable loser. I mean, the Cubs, they've been a postseason team 5 of the last 6 seasons. They've won the division 3 of the last 4 years. And with last time I looked, losing is not synonymous with the Chicago Cubs anymore, which is, you know, something that you and I, we grew up with. We saw, I mean, no matter what, you know, we'd turn games on and we'd watch, even though a lot of times we knew what the outcome was going to be. It was the soundtrack to our summer. But now this next generation, they've been treated to success, to see a team that wins the division, especially this year, you know, in the craziness that was 2020, for this team to be in first place in 59 of, 61 to 63 days of a season, I mean, that's remarkable in and of itself. And I know they weren't able to punch their ticket versus the Marlins, but, I mean, they ran into a buzzsaw. I mean, plain and simple, the guys that they saw on the mound were almost unhittable. And, you know, no shame in that. Only one team can win a Commissioner's Trophy at the end of the season. And, like I said, there's only one squad that can win it. So if you don't win it every year, I think you need to gauge that success by how do we do in the division. When it comes to the postseason, are we there? Are we putting our names? Are we throwing our hat into the ring for that Commissioner's Trophy each and every single year? I think that's what Theo can walk away from the Cubs. He knows that this team is going to be in a position to succeed every single season, Lawrence.
Cole, as always, man, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining me. Bear Essentials tonight, 7 o'clock on the Marquee Network, and then you can rewatch that game if you want and check out what the Bears did against the Vikings. Sir, have a great week. I will talk to you next week.
Absolutely, man. Always a pleasure.
That is Cole Wright of the Marquee Network, and he visits with us every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Good man, had a sharp cap today going on. If you missed it on the Twitch stream, we're going to take a break. I promised you. You can get your words in on these Bears. We didn't have a chance because there was breaking news yesterday. We had guests up the wazoo, all of that. Guess what? That's not the case. So if you want to talk about you can take the conversation pretty much in any direction you want, whether you want to talk about the game itself or the future or the quarterback or Mitchell Trubisky, or if you want to show some love to Roquan Smith because he's been great, or talk about Eddie Jackson trying to tackle people on Monday. All of that stuff is available to you. I have thoughts, but I'd like to hear yours since I didn't give you a chance to do it. 312-644-6767 is the number, whether you want to text or call. I'll say it again. 312-644-6767. Bears conversation. It sounds like a threat. Bears conversation is on the way next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
2:13 to go. Snap back. Extra tacker. Full stepping up. Throwing deep to Anthony Miller. Incomplete at the 5. Had Miller for a moment. He overthrows him. And the Bears turn it over on downs with 2:04 to go in the game.
That sums up exactly what the feelings were in watching. You know, the thing is that I'm not even sure that Bears fans were enraged on Monday night. I think it was more of like resignation, but we'll see, because I'm going to go to the phone lines and talk with people about the Bears. The phone number is 312-644-6767. You can call us, you can text. It's the same number. Let's start in Washington with Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the Score.
Lawrence, the man, the myth, the legend, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. What's on your mind?
Hey, you know what? We're paying a lot of big money to the defense, and actually the biggest cog by far is Akeem Hicks. He is the MVP of that defense. He goes out, all of a sudden you start seeing the teams run right up the middle, can't stop him. Akeem Hicks, you know, he flattens Dalvin Cook every chance he gets. Mac has done well, but yet Akeem is the man. Roquan Smith, all of a sudden – I tell you what, is there a better linebacker out there? Not sure there is.
I don't think that there is. I think that this year he has an argument that he is the best, if not best, at least one of the best three linebackers in the NFL.
He was everywhere on that field.
He was, and he is.
I feel bad for Allen Robinson. We're wasting his talent. Here's the thing. Do you pay a guy when you don't have a quarterback that can get him the ball consistently? Unfortunately, that's the situation we're in. I really hope, and again, I'm going to go with the DC reference. I hope Mitchell comes back in. Just like when Superman died, you had multiple Supermen try to replace him, couldn't do it. Then he comes back better than ever. Maybe that'll happen. Who knows?
Maybe. I appreciate the phone call. I think that we all would like good things for Mitchell Trubisky. I don't know that in the last 6 weeks of football that are left, one, if he'll be healthy enough to go out there on Sunday night, and two, if he'll play well enough to undo some of the damage that he's done to himself, reputation-wise, as far as his play goes. But we'll see. I'm at this point, I don't see a reason to not play him unless he is not physically able to go. And if I were Mitch, I don't know. Maybe I need to go get a second opinion. Maybe I do need surgery. This shoulder hurts a little bit. Perhaps I do need to have surgery. Matt's out in Batavia. Hey, Matt, you're on the Score.
What's up, Lawrence? So jumping right on that point, you know, it bums me out that we're back in this position where, again, we're talking about head coaches and quarterbacks. It's just we can never get away from it. And I thought after 18, we were kind of set, at least at the head coach. But the more you look at how he managed that situation where, you know, in 18, I know Mitch wasn't great, but he was good enough and he was good enough with his legs. And for whatever reason, you know, we got into this situation where in 19, he's got to learn 2.0 offense, you know, and we talked about it. There were plenty of talks about it after each game. Like, why is he trying to make him a pocket passer? Why is he trying to change this guy away from his strengths? And he just, for whatever reason, he did that. And then, you know, fast forward to this year, and you're watching Foles, you know, which we just didn't get the Foles used to be, obviously. But to evaluate that guy, and after watching, like, a game like Miami, Arizona, you're watching Tua, you know, run around against Kyler running around. And it's like, why? We had some semblance of that. I'm not saying Mitch is as good as either of those two guys, but just the way the NFL is going, right? Why wouldn't you try and nurture that? Instead of just going to that statue guy who I've never seen anybody slower in my life on a football field, you know?
He's very slow, and I appreciate the phone call, Matt. I think that you raised some really interesting points when it comes to where the league is going overall. If you're going to have a guy who's in the pocket, he better be Drew Brees. He better be someone that has pinpoint accuracy and gets the ball out quickly. Neither of those are attributes that Nick Foles has at this point in his career. If you look at who the great quarterbacks are, all of them, or the great young quarterbacks, or the ones that you think that are on the rise, all of them have a level of escapability that is higher than what Foles possesses right now. And if you can't protect it, the way that you protect a quarterback like that is to have him get the ball out quick. And there have been moments where you've seen the Bears try that. At the beginning of the game against Tennessee, I really liked that they were trying to kind of go side to side and do it quickly, and then they got away from it. And when he is given opportunities to make plays down the field, when they do finally go vertical in the Bears offense, he misses those throws, and he misses them badly. I was talking about it while the game was going on. He's going to get Allen Robinson killed with some of those late throws across the middle. And you know that Robinson's got the courage. Like, he doesn't care. Like, he'll go and make the play. But the miss to Miller on the interception is behind him. Then he missed him again. Maybe Miller can lay out, and maybe, like, here's what your quarterback's inaccuracy allows all of us to go, they need Anthony Miller to make a great play. And since Miller is so inconsistent, think about what you're asking. In both of those situations, if he comes up with the ball, it's a great play. When you have clean pockets and time to throw the ball, your wide receivers shouldn't be in a position where they have to make great plays. It's when we talk about accuracy, don't talk to me about what the percentages were. You can look at where the passes are with these quarterbacks and tell who's accurate and who's not. Jeff is in Rogers Park. Hey, Jeff, you're on the Score.
Lawrence, good afternoon, brother. How you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Hey, I had called you a few weeks ago and was touching bases with you. We was giving our input on Nagy relinquishing the play calling duties to one of the guys. Mm-hmm. And I was concerned about him losing the locker room if he wasn't showing some humbleness to relinquish those duties. Now the concern is with Foles' performance on Sunday, with the not knowing the status of Mitch, what do you think the Bears should do to this point? And do you think that by Nagy relinquishing the play calling to Bill Lazor, that would kind of tone the locker room down a little bit? Because I just feel like it's a little bit of, too much of the defense saving the offense, so to speak, Lawrence. And I think that that's it could cause a little bit of division.
I don't think that we haven't seen that yet. And I appreciate the phone call. That's the one thing that you can point to with Matt Nagy that he was even talked about it yesterday. We're saying there hasn't been a splinter or a fracture. I don't think that those guys are built that way. And after the game, Eddie Jackson was trying to make sure that everyone stayed together. So I don't think that's something that you have to worry about. But let me also just say this. Whenever we talk about the concept of culture in NFL locker rooms, and that's something that Matt Nagy was patting himself on the back for, what good has your great culture been? I'm not saying that you want a locker room full of banditos. You don't want Antonio Browns in there. But for all the talk of great culture, great culture, great culture, what has that gotten you in the last two seasons? And I also question how great your culture is. Because if you remember, at the end of the season last year, what did Matt Nagy say was one of his issues with his team? That you had guys kind of drifting into meetings and maybe not being as buttoned up on assignments as he would like for them to be. I think that he does an incredible job of putting a very good public face forward for the Bears and that everything's okay. But beyond that, we can watch the games and realize that everything's not okay. And the defense has been asked to do too much. I don't think that they're going to revolt. I think they're going to continue to try to do their job and take the challenge on. It would be nice if the offense met them halfway. It truly would. You got 6 points out of your offense in this game. You got 2 field goals from the Bears offense in this game. That's not even close to being good enough. When Cole brought up in our last segment that their offensive numbers are there, right there with the Jets, think about what that says. The Jets aren't even trying to win. They're actively trying to lose. and the Bears offense is barely better than them. There's so many things to look for. And I brought it up in yesterday's segment when we were going through the stats. The fact that over the last 2 weeks, the longest run that you've had has come off a fake punt and was only 11 yards. The fact that Nick Foles averaged less than 4 yards per attempt. Per attempt. Not completion. Per attempt. In this game is unreal. Less than 40 yards in the second half. Whatever number you want to look to. Offensively for the Bears was an absolute nightmare, and there have been no answers that have come from Matt Nagy. Bobby's out in Oak Park. Hey, Bobby, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. Like you said, I can't really drum up a lot of anger from that game because it went so perfectly to plan, is with what the Bears have been doing lately. But I can get, you know, when I think about the Bears' big picture, Ryan Pace is the biggest problem I have. GMs, they can miss on draft picks. They do it all the time. But what amazes me is the conviction this man displays, trading up, giving up assets to get players like Anthony Miller, like David Montgomery, who they're okay, but they're not great players. If I'm not mistaken, he came from the player personnel department with the Saints. He objectively looked at the quarterback class in 2018, and I know people hate talking about it.
2017.
But this guy from 2017, sorry. 2018 was when the Bears had that good year. He objectively looked at all of those available prospects and was so sure that it had to be Mitch. That, you know, I'm not even really worried about the picks he traded up. It's just the mindset that he has, that he was so sure he had to go do it, and he drafted a quarterback who couldn't play. And he passed on all-pro, probably Hall of Fame quarterbacks, man. We're going to be watching football in the 2030, 2035, watching Mahomes and Watson, and we still might not have a quarterback by that time. So any GM can miss on people, but it amazes me the conviction of his misses, how he trades up for guys that don't make impacts in the game. Adam Shaheen was a second-round pick. Yeah, he's already long and forgotten with, but, you know, you can't do that over the course of time. I just don't want him making any more important decisions, a.k.a. that might take an embarrassment in Lambeau Field for the McCaskies to start thinking about what they really need to do. But, you know, it's just so frustrating. And nothing's changed from 2018, the narrative of the offense. Nothing's gotten better. They still can't run. They can't block. They don't have playmakers. Nothing's changed. They just have a great defense still. And that's what's so frustrating about it. So I want all the arrows guided his way because it starts with him. New GM, he wants to start a new coach. That's fine. If he wanted to stay with Nagy, I'm willing to try it. But it starts with Pace. He is the architect of this team, and those are my thoughts.
I appreciate the phone call, and I think that you raise a lot of interesting points. Let me go to one of the guys that you mentioned, though. Adam Shaheen's doing just fine in Miami. So I'll give him credit, which makes you wonder about the coaching staff, because guess who was named NFC Defensive Player of the Week this week? Leonard Floyd, who's probably going to the Pro Bowl this year. So you do have guys that were raw material that your coaching staff wasn't able to get the most out of. I think that if you look at what Ryan Pace has done on the defensive side of the ball, he gets high marks, and he should, for the players that he's brought in. If you look at the offense, here's a fun exercise for you. Imagine the starting 11 for the Bears. Now imagine that any team in the playoffs can take any player off of the Bears offense with no risk, no cost. Is there any player that gets picked up to start other than Allen Robinson? Like, think hard. Like, visualize the Bears offense and imagine a draft of NFC playoff teams and say, hey, there's no problem. You can pick anyone off the Bears, but that player has to start for you. Like, call it like a Rule 5 in the NFL playoffs. He has to start for you. Which one of those players is worthy to start? other than Allen Robinson and maybe Cody Whitehair playing guard. That's damning. No one would want your quarterbacks. I don't think anyone would want your running backs either. The offensive line overall is a disaster. And with your receivers, there's too much. I think that Anthony Miller has the tools, physical tools, to be a great player. Something's keeping him from being consistent. And maybe that's why, with all the physical skills that he has, all the things he can do, why he lasted so long in the draft. It's disappointing. I want you to hear this before we take a timeout. Olin Krutz was on with Mully and Haw. And what Olin usually does is, he's not a guy that just kind of goes off and does his own thing. He will answer the questions that are asked of him. But listen to him and his assessment, because it is deep and detailed. His assessment of where the Bears stand as a franchise after that debacle on Monday night.
I just think that it's a big part of the problem when you look at the way this Chicago Bears offensive roster has been constructed over years, and you look at the draft picks and who they've had around and who they've taken time to develop and who they've had on their roster, and you're not shocked at why the Bears are where they're at offensively, right? Because if you just look at, okay, why is the defense so good? Well, their first round picks, you know, are pretty much since Ryan Pace has been here, it's Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack, because you trade 2 ones for Khalil Mack. On offense, your first round picks are Kevin White and Mitch Trubisky. And then you keep around, you know, usually in that third quarterback spot, you'd have a young guy that you are grooming. And for whatever reason, they've kept Tyler Bray around. My only guess is that Coach Nagy is comfortable with him. And look, I just want to see him so we can get past this, keeping Tyler Bray as the third quarterback on a roster that needs another quarterback. So can we get past that and get a young guy in here to develop? Because the problems on offense, first of all, you know, is they have no advantage, guys, anywhere, right? They have, you know, you thought you'd have an advantage through the scheme. You don't, right? Last night, Zimmer outguessed Laser or whoever came up with the blitz protection plan and the protection plan. He outguessed them all night and had them behind the eight ball. He was sending more guys than they had when they went five-man protection, and then he was dropping guys into coverage when they tried to guess that he was going to blitz, and he outguessed them scheme-wise. So there you don't have an advantage. You don't have an advantage through players when there are plays to be made, and the offensive line obviously is not playing well, and they have injuries again this year. But when there are plays to be made, they're not made. Look, Foles' first interception after Danny Trevathan causes that fumble, the blocking is good. The blocking is perfect. Mooney is there open for the first down. And whether you want to say Miller should have caught the ball or Foles threw it too far to the right, none of that was on the offensive line, that interception. So even when the blocking is there, the plays aren't being made. You know, when you're looking for the scheme to give you an advantage, whether with a screen to the running back or a throwback off a sprint or anything to give you an advantage, you're not getting any of that. And that's why you're looking at this offensive football that we've been watching.
Olin's so on point right there. Everything he said is on point. When we were watching the game together, you and I are watching that game together. I'm on Twitter. You're watching that game. Third down, you knew exactly what the Vikings were going to do. You knew that they were going to blitz. And it didn't matter. If it was Bill Lazor or Matt Nagy, they had no answer for it. There was no identified hot read that Foles could get the ball to. It was like he didn't know where blitzes were coming from. They did all sorts of stuff. A-gap stuff, cat blitzes, everything, safety stuff. And the Bears had no answer for it. None. And it was like, here they go. Okay, so they end up, it didn't matter even down in distance. It didn't matter third and four versus third and 10. They were coming. And the Bears couldn't protect their quarterback and couldn't get, he couldn't protect himself by getting the ball out fast. It was just, and Olin's part about the scheme is something that I've been talking about for months now. There's this deferring to, well, this guy has to come in and fit Matt Nagy's scheme. Let's be real. Matt Nagy's scheme has sucked since week 12 of the 2018 season. It really has. And as they continue to try to fit people in what it is that he wants to do, instead of tailoring an offense around the things that they are actually capable of doing, is maddening. One of our callers said if the new GM wanted to keep Matt Nagy, he'd be cool with it. And I actually kind of agree with that. I think that there's a great coach in there. But I don't know if we're ever going to see it again in Chicago. I'd like to give him an opportunity because I find him to be sincere and earnest about winning. And I thought it showed a lot of balls and character for him to give up play calling. But some of this stuff might go beyond that. It might be his overall take on offensive football in 2020. Take a break. Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Yesterday, Theo Epstein in his press conference was talking about being a champion for football. And not that you ever... Theo's not a dispassionate speaker. He's almost always pretty passionate when he's talking about baseball. But I thought it was interesting that he was so passionate talking about being a champion for the game that it's itself. And I think that that's a really interesting concept. In trying to figure out what this guy does next, the world is his oyster, even if he wants to do it inside of baseball. Yesterday, I broke down the reasons why him being commissioner is not a great idea, because if he has to kowtow to the owners, then what's the point? You were dealing with one owner and now you got to deal with 30. I don't think that's a great idea. But it was really nice to see someone that high up in the game speak about how much they love the game. Like, that's wonderful to hear. And as a baseball fan, like, I felt that yesterday. I felt the idea of, man, this is a great game and it needs to be treated that way. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people around the game that don't feel similarly, or at least are not in a position to act accordingly to what Theo's talking about. But I'm glad that he brought it up, and I'm glad that baseball, even though it won't have him as the president of baseball operations for the Cubs, it now gets someone who's a legitimate champion of the game wanting to do right by the game. And I think that's a good thing. By the way, Theo Epstein will join Danny Parkins at 3 o'clock. You do not want to miss that. In fact, I'm going to talk with Danny Parkins and Will Perdue coming up next here on The Score. So stick around. We're going to have some fun.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.